Sunday.
Welcome to Go Live Sunday.
Good morning and welcome to Go Live Sunday.
Hi and welcome to
Go Live Sunday.
Good morning and welcome to Go Live Sunday.
Welcome to this week's Go Live Sunday.
Good morning and welcome to Go Live Sunday.
Good morning, welcome to
Go Live Sunday.
Hello and welcome to Welton Baptist Church. My name is Matt Hebditch and I'm one of the team here. Matt Coombs, who co-leads the church with me, he's going to be speaking in a little bit as we carry on our series called Simplicity. And today we're looking at simplicity of community. Back at the start of 2021, I had this strong sense of God's heart for us to dig deeper into our relationship with him. The backdrop, we shouldn't underestimate it, should be the first time in 2,000 years the global church has been kept from meeting together in person for more than a year. The impact, we don't know for sure, but what we do know is that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. And that's either true or it's not true. And I believe it's true. And I'm more convinced than ever that one thing this pandemic has done is to reveal our need of God's power, his grace in our lives. Anything counterfeit or autopilot seems to have been stripped away. And I think that's a good thing when we become more dependent to this God who says, come to me, I will never leave you or forsake you. The God who says, I am the bread of life. So as we worship this morning, today, I want to just give you two questions just to ponder, not alone, but in the presence of God. What is God doing in your life at the moment? And don't worry if your first thought is, hold on, I've got no idea. Your maker, the one who loves you the most, he can show you, actually, this is what I'm doing, wanting to do in your life. The second question flows from it, and it's, what is he doing through you to impact this world that we've got this privilege of living in? I really believe these two questions, they draw us back into this place of dependence, where we don't deny the pain of the last 20 months, but we say, actually, our God is able to bring me through stronger, more human, closer to him, aware of what he's doing in my life and through my life, and loving those things. So as we pray, I just want to encourage you, hold on to that thought. Lord, what are you doing in me and through me? Let's pray together. Lord, you said, I am the bread of life, and whoever comes to me will not grow hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So we come now in our hunger and in our thirst. We ask you to work in us and to show us how you're wanting to work through us. We pray that our love for you, our dependence on you, it would not be secondary to our lives, but it would be the very thing that brings us to life. Let this be two-way today. Speak to us as we worship, as we fix our eyes on you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Today, we are continuing our series thinking about simplicity, focusing this week on community. We're looking at what might be a familiar passage, and there's a few questions for us to think about and to take away and come back to. So let's start by reading the passage together. Acts 4, 32 to 37. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there was no needy person among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put them at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. To give a bit of background to these verses, these are exciting times for the young church. After Jesus had died and come back to life, he appeared to his followers and sent them to share all about him, the good news that anyone can choose to put their trust in him and know him living in them. People were hearing this truth and responding in large numbers. We read about 3,000 being added to their number in one day. Isn't that fantastic? Jesus has sent them, and can you imagine the joy they must have felt at seeing lives transformed as people hear their message and encounter Jesus? Slight aside, but it made me think, how do we respond when we hear about people coming to know Jesus today? There's been a number over the last year or so at Welton, and personally, I'm just so encouraged. I love it that we are seeing lives change today through Jesus. But back on track, thinking about our church community and simplicity. I was thinking about the question, who do we each put first? Verse 33 says, with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. So it's honesty time for me. There was a bit of church that seemed easier in lockdown than it does now. Of course, the goal was always looking forward to being able to meet in person again, but we really were all in it together. And I think our grace levels probably just went up a notch as well, as we tried to figure things out between us. Of course, there's loads of things that we really, really missed, especially around kids and youth work. And so it's good to be meeting together again in person. But am I the only one who is finding things a bit more pressured, a bit more demanding since we've come out of lockdown? That's not a complaint or a woe is me. It's probably just a reality for loads of people as we adjust to a new normal. At the Youth Leaders Conference a bunch of us were at last weekend, we were reminded to stop and say, wow, at what God has done, before we try and get anything else done. With these few verses, the temptation is to jump into the detail of what the apostles were doing and how this community was working, but to miss what came first. Verse 33 tells us they were all there because of the Lord Jesus. They were saying, wow, look at who Jesus is and what he has done. It says they did this with great power. This doesn't mean shouting at people, but God's Spirit was at work as they shared so passionately about the person they devoted their lives to. I've recently been reading through John's Gospel alongside a book called Meeting the Saviour, The Glory of Jesus in the Gospel of John. I've been trying to take my time and to take everything in, to look again at who I put first. And as I've been reading, I've been finding these truths. Jesus, you exist in eternity and you are God. Wow. Everything was made through you. There is a person at the heart of this incredible universe. As God, you came as a baby born, not just to visit, but to dwell, to grow, to be watched, tested and examined. You made wine and lots of it. You brought a new age, an age of grace. You are the Lamb, a unique sacrifice who can remove our sins as far as the east is from the west. Wow. You are the living water, who means we can never be thirsty again. You are the bridegroom and the church is your bride. You are a healer, a provider, a rule breaker and a judge. You can actually walk on water. You are God. You are a light that shines in the darkness, a good shepherd that knows and loves your sheep and dies for us. You were promised thousands of years before you came. Wow. You are humble, a servant, and show us the right path, the best way to go. You are the vine, and we are the branches. We get to remain in you. You pray for me. You have power even over death. You are King. You restore hope. Wow! What will it take for you to say wow again? That may not be easy to answer. What would you really do? It could mean booking a day or two away just to spend time with God, to read, talk, listen to him. Maybe it's looking at your story again, sitting down and writing it out, not just the 1 minute version, but that real connection that you found with God. It could be asking God for opportunities to talk about him, then going for it and being reminded that you've got something unique to share with people. Whatever it is, would you just pause for a second and commit to doing it? Thinking about this community of believers, the next question is, what do they share? There's something really romantic about the way this early church is described. It sounds almost too good to be true. We read, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them that in all of them there was no needy person. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, bought the money from their sales and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone who had need. I think there's a key here in that first verse that I read. All the believers were one in heart and mind. We find this expression used in the Old Testament when it was time for David, a distant grandparent of Jesus, to become king. There were a group come into a place called Hebron, determined to make him king. And we read in 1 Chronicles 12:38, all the rest of the Israelites were also of one mind to make David king. I love that. The people of one mind to make David king. Isn't it just the best when in church life we are really of one heart and mind to make Jesus king? That has to bring perspective to who we are and what we are doing as a community of believers. As we think about this brilliant community where no one was needed, where generosity wasn't seen as generosity, it was just the norm, something for us to take away is to see that this sharing wasn't the law. It wasn't done through tithes or coercion. It was completely a response to wanting to serve Jesus as King. When we're thinking about what we can share practically, financially, or of our time and skills, let's share it with one heart and mind to serve Jesus. Let's be ready to keep bringing the focus back to him, being honest when we've drifted into our own agendas. My last question today is, what do we bring to our church community? We get introduced in this passage to Joseph, but Joseph's been given a brilliant nickname, Barnabas. It's not just that I happen to like the name Barnabas, although it is quite cool, Barney. They've given him this name as it means son of encouragement. It was Barnabas who was brave enough to introduce Saul, who became Paul, to the disciples in Jerusalem when they were still afraid of him. Wow, what an encourager. Also, Barnabas, who was sent to the church in Antioch to encourage them, he's described as a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And it's Barnabas who, when Paul had got frustrated with another of the followers called Mark, came alongside him and stuck with him. Barnabas brought huge encouragement to his community. Have a think. If you asked your church family, what would be your nickname based on what you bring? Son or daughter of, you fill in the blank. Now, I'm guessing about now you'll be getting any funny ones out of the way. So how about we pause and pray, because this is really important stuff. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to show us. We know it's going to be good because God has gifted every single one of us. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that there are no spare parts in your church, but that we all belong and get something that we can bring. Lord, wherever we all are right now, please let your Holy Spirit speak to each one of us so that we know we are valued and significant in your kingdom. For anyone who might be doubting that about themselves, please let them see what they may have been missing and to grow a new confidence in that gift, Lord. Amen. If you're meeting up with anyone today, I've given you something great that you can talk about together there. We're all able to see things in one another that we bring to this church community. Maybe there is someone you know of who's struggling to find their way in our church community, have found themselves withdrawn and needing someone to say, "You are so important to us, to this church and to our mission." Please let's not think that this is the job for me or my H or your house group leaders, no matter how amazing they are. It's you, me, it's everyone, as we read at the start of this passage today. Let's do this together. So let's be ready to encourage others. I love it that Barnabas did this incredible thing in selling a field and sharing the money, but let's not be overwhelmed by that. His motive was that will of his to make Jesus king. I think I'm not the only one who might be having to battle a bit to really make Jesus my king, to look at who he is and what he's done, and again to say, wow. But it's so worth it because it's then that everything else falls into place. It's then that I love to give, I love to help people out, and I love to really come alongside and encourage. It's when I've got that first thing right. Before we rush off to whatever is next today, I want to really encourage you again to make a date in your diary to find that space to spend time with God and say wow again. To be reminded how much he loves and values you and has gifted you. And for you to know you are important and precious to him and his church. Please go ahead, do it now. God bless.
I want to thank you for being with us. I really hope you've heard God by his Spirit and speaking to you. Let me encourage you, if you're watching and you've not yet considered yourself a follower of Jesus, just to think about joining us in January for an Alpha course that we're going to be running Wednesday the 19th of January, starting at 7 p.m. A course designed for people wanting to ask those big questions of life and of faith. Drop us an email and we'll send you back an invite. We'd love you to be with us. If you're local at Welton, part of the Welton family, can I mention two things just before we finish? Firstly, can I ask you to pray for our house group leaders? Why? Because they are the backbone of our church, opening up their homes, giving a pastoral lead, enabling us to gather in the middle of the week in each other's homes and where we go deeper with God and with each other. Please pray for them, that God would refresh them, that they would know his pleasure in them, that they'd be inspired as they give a lead in our church, helping us to love God more, to love each other more, and to love those in our community. Please pray for our house group leaders. Second and last thing, we've got a great Christmas program lined up, and if you haven't seen the email, you will soon. If you're not on our email list and would like to be, please let us know. But can I ask you, if you're part of the Welton Church family, just to take a look and not only to ask, what shall I go to? But to look at what we're doing and say, actually, how can I make it work? We need all of us to be welcoming, making mince pies, helping kids with crafts, putting out chairs, coming ready to talk to people about Jesus and our church family and what's going on next year, to be God's community. So, we'd love to ask you just to give that some thought as you look at that email. Okay, that's it. Thanks for being with us. Have a great week and God bless.